Well, hello and welcome back to the Magnet here in Stockport, home of the Magnet and of the NPL show.
That's a great start, that, Ben. Well done.
Every month I knock out of the park, don't
you? You do, don't you? You start the show off unbelievably well. That's absolutely tremendous.
And we're back.
Award-winning Magnet, by the way. You forget that bit every single month.
Well, you always correct me, though.
Of course, yes. So carry on.
Anyway, so welcome to the Magnet and welcome to March's edition of the NPL show. And what an exciting NPL show we've got for you, ladies and gentlemen. Why are you laughing? Round the table, we're joined by a plethora of non-league experts and self-confessed non-league not experts. We've got from FC United Radio, we've got Swamper.
Good evening.
We've got James Hayes from the NPL Facebook group.
Hello.
We've got Burke from BBC Radio Manchester.
Oh, hello. I was just having a little sip of my pie.
Right, and now this is exciting. From the Flan clan from last month, we've got the pair of them. We've got Aaron Flanagan from the Evening News.
Hello.
And from Curzon Ashton, the manager of Curzon Ashton, John Flanagan.
Hello.
There we go. Roy Sewell's here as well from New Mills.
Good evening, folks.
And non-league journalist Pav. Welcome to the show.
Good evening.
A legendary Pav.
The legendary
Pav. Yes,
definitely.
Really?
Yep. That's what Twitter says. Bring back Pav.
Bring back Pav. Last month, everyone round the table was very, very sure that the league was done and dusted. Chorley all over it like a rash. No problem at all. It was fine. However, it's got a bit tight all of a sudden. What's happened? Swamper.
Well, in all fairness, I've said from the beginning of the season, and I think most of us would concur to a certain degree, that anyone that finished above Chorley probably would have won the league. Chorley were in an absolutely tremendous position. They were running away with it, in all fairness. And I mean, let's not forget the game that FC United played against them a week last Tuesday. If that game had been played when it should have been, there were 19 points difference between the two teams. They've had a stutter. They're still, you know, got 74 points. They're still in pole position. They had a great game. A great victory against Worksop at the weekend, which was basically testament to how they have to really come back after that great result FC United got on Tuesday. And it was a tremendous result in front of the largest crowd of the season. I still think it's Chorley's to lose. I still think Gary and Mr. Jensen know what they need to do in order to win the division, and therefore it's down to them really. And if anyone does win the league, it'll be done on basically being more consistent.
Anyone else can top that? Is that what's gone on, Burke?
Yeah, I broadly agree with Swampy for once there. However, you look at the run-ins. There's two teams with terrible run-ins there: FC United and Chorley. They're just not nice at all. Skem, they've got all the teams at the top, they've got all the teams at the bottom. But you look at Fylde, you look at Worksop, they've got lovely, lovely run-ins sent from heaven for them. And I think that it's going to be very, very tight. It's Fylde, they're 6 points behind Chorley, they played a game more. Worksop, 8 points, but they played the same amount of games. I don't think there's going to be 6 points in it at the end of this season. I think Chorley will still win it, I think.
Yes.
But it's going to be quite narrow. 2 points, maybe. 3 points. Probably from Worksop as well.
Aaron?
I still think it's Chorley's to lose as well.
To be honest, I
remember saying to my little brother the other day, we were looking at the league tables and the run-ins, and we actually genuinely thought that FC United were going to be the closest competitors, providing that FC can then beat Chorley again in the back end of the season. Chorley don't have the easiest to run in. They've got to play Ilkeston, Ashton United soon, teams who are very capable of getting results. But I mean, for me, it's still Chorley's to lose, but I still think FC are going to push them.
Does everyone think Chorley still?
Yep.
All depends on what happens with the game in hand. I personally think if they lose that game, I don't think they'll win the league now.
John Flanagan, you shook your head there.
I did.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Go for it.
My feeling is that Fylde will come up on the rails. I don't think they're far away. I think everybody's forgotten about them. There's been no force like there normally is about Fylde, and they've had a bit of a mixed season, and they've just crept back in a little bit at a time. We know they've got the resources if they need to sign somebody quick, and I've just got a sneaky feeling that they might pinch it.
Yes, one.
If Chorley don't win the league, FC United are six games unbeaten now. Tremendous game against Chorley, as I said. It was absolutely fantastic game before. 0-0, we would have been happy. Both teams really, both sets of defenders were absolutely outstanding in that game. Six games unbeaten, win all the games. It's a tall order.
It's another 12 matches,
but you've got to play Chorley, you've got to play Skem. For me, FC United could go on and win this division. It's a tall order, but I don't see Fylde, in all fairness. They play 36 games, 68 points. I mean, they're a good team, and I agree with you, John. They can bring players in as and when they want to. But I really do think that it's between Chorley and FC United and the other three.
There's a bit of mileage, though, in the Fylde argument, because the next three games for Fylde are Stamford, then Frickler.
Mm-hmm. I thought you had a stutter then.
No. I'm over that now.
Okay.
What do you think, Roy?
Personally, I think I know Chorley have had a little stutter recent times, but they've had influential players, very good players, players that would actually be in the first team, you know, clicking away in the starting team, and they've been out injured or unavailable in Josh Hines, Young Mather, and James Dean, James Dean and Josh Hines, they're two goal machines. And you know, at the end of the day, once they come back in again, they'll start firing on all cylinders again. And you know what? You know, at the end of the day, all teams have to get over, whether professional, semi-professional, or amateur, over the situations of unavailability of players. And if they can still keep picking up points and stay in the league positions that they're in, then they've just got better things to come.
Can I just add something on that?
Yes, of course you can.
Quickly, what I would say, I think the key thing there with Chorley is Andy Teague. If he gets injured in the next few games or doesn't see the season out, I think they'll struggle. I think he's really the key. He's a bit like Vincent Kompany at City. If he plays, they tend to defend very well as a unit.
He organises very well, John.
Yeah, he's good. He's an experienced lad.
They've got another player for me who's absolutely tremendous, and that's Kiel O'Brien, his partner. I think certainly against FC United, I mean, he was the difference between the two teams. Teague played well. O'Brien came up with a winner against Worksop on Saturday, but also you get Roscoe playing, because you know we've seen the quality of Roscoe as well, and the one thing that they were lacking certainly against FC United was anything really up front. Stevenson didn't really show anything, but James Dean, we know his pedigree, and if they do bring him back, I mean, obviously I'm hoping for an FC United victory and win in the league, but at the same time I still think Chorley are probably going to do it, because they have that quality.
I think the blip could have been, it could have got worse at Worksop, but they won that game.
Yeah,
and I think,
exactly.
Pav, welcome to the show. What are your thoughts on all this palaver?
Well, I'm the one who's not an expert. I'm inclined to go with Chorley, but momentum's a marvellous thing. Momentum at this time of the season, anything can happen, somebody can get injured, but I'm not a gambling man. I would go for Chorley, but I take John's point about Fylde, but I think FC United have gotten a bit between the teeth at the moment, and traditionally they do seem to come at the end of the season, don't they? Am I right?
It's been the way up for the last three or four seasons, basically.
Well, FC United, I just think their run-in's too much for him. They've got to play all the teams again up at the top. I think their role this season is going to be kingmakers.
James. I was going to say, I'm not going to rule out Worksop. I mean, they've scored 97 goals so far this season. I can't see them. They've got a couple of games, difficult games in FC. I think they've got to play Chorley again, haven't they? But even then, our team, we say goals win leagues. I've said it a couple of times on the podcast. I can't see them not being at least within the last couple of games of the season, having a shout in the league.
There's not many teams that Chorley come up against that they should beat that they don't beat. I can't say that about FC.
No.
I can't say that about Fylde, and I can't say that about Skelmersdale. You know, at the end of the day, you can afford to lose against your competitors, yeah, in the games, so long as you beat all those that you should be able to beat.
We've not really felt, we've said Worksop, we've said Fylde, we've said FC, we've said Chorley. We've not really said anything about Skem that much. Skem's next few games is a bit daunting, I would suggest. They've got Blyth Spartans away, then Witten Albion.
So you have got a snutter.
Yes, I have. then they're hosting FC United, of course, and then they've got that long trip down to Norfolk to play Kingsland Town. too much for Skem to stay in it? Or
I don't think so. I mean, Skem really, for me, have been hugely impressive this season. You know, to come from the division below, which we know is a very tough league to get out of, and to do as well as they have and stay there pretty much the majority of the season. You know, and he's lost a couple of players, come and gone, but Tommy Lawson, again, he's been there, he knows the game inside out, and they're there on merit. For me, I've said I don't think they'll win the league, but they will stay in the top five. There's no question about it.
For me, the key with Skem is that if they can finish second or third, they're going to get home tie in the playoffs, which I think they've only dropped points once or twice at home this season, which, I mean, for Skem, looking forward, they're looking to go for promotion. That's probably the route they're going to have to take. But I think they've just got to ensure that they get a home tie.
They've drawn one and they've lost one at home. That's all, you know. So
didn't they have a record at home that went back a couple of seasons or something that they never got beat at home? And that's gone now. It went in the last month, didn't it?
Of all
teams.
So I'm not going to mention another record as well, because there's four people in the room that could beat me up tonight because of it.
what record?
Did
Radcliffe win a game at last? Is that what happened?
Ooh, get in there.
Come on, then.
One team we've not mentioned, who were just there, just in the lurking in the background, and looking at our Tameside bunch, Ashton United are still hanging around. Is it too much to ask?
To win the title, yeah.
Do you reckon, yeah? Because it's 12 points at the moment.
It's a lot to get in the playoffs. Because they're playing just about now, kicking off against Stocksbridge, which is a game they ought to win. But I think it's too much for them to win the title. Definitely to win the title would be a hell of a thing if they get through to the playoffs.
Do you reckon the playoffs is beyond them, Aaron?
No, I don't think it's beyond them. I mean, they've gone through a real tough run of fixtures over the last month. Played a lot of the teams around them and probably got more points than they actually probably expected that they were going to. I do think that I think the top five in there now are going to be the top five at the end of the season.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
Yep, perfectly honest, but I don't think it's out of Ashton's capabilities. Obviously, Steve Alford's got them and Paul Phillips have got them really, really well drilled there. They do just keep managing to churn out results. And I think they're in the shot, but I don't think they're going to do it.
I think out of that group there, the one just maybe to look at,
I was going to ask you,
is Matlock Town.
Yep.
Matlock Town, you're right.
Matlock Town, because they're 34 games played, they're on 58 points. You know, they get them games, they're there or thereabouts. And, you know, Matlock are on a bit of a winning streak at the moment. It's a hard place to go to, you know, and they play some good football. So, you know, they may well be the team that you're thinking, you know. And even, I know it might sound strange, but Rushall have been a bit indifferent in the last month or so. But again, with those two games, you know, things can change. But I think to tend to agree with Aaron that it's probably the five that are in there at the moment. The one team I can see maybe, for me personally, see coming out of that is, out of all three, is maybe Worksop Town coming out of that and being replaced by a other.
Not having it.
They're running, swamping, no chance.
Forget runners in this division, it makes no difference because anyone can beat anybody in all fairness.
They tend not to, though. They're playing the teams at the bottom. They're not going to lose to all themselves. The only thing that they could possibly do for Worksop now is complacency, and I don't think they will do.
Well, that's what football's all about. Me being right, you being wrong.
You've all talked around those. I've watched near enough every one of those teams at the top there, and one of the biggest impressions I got off a good footballing side, well organised, was Blyth Spartans, and I reckon Blyth Spartans can beat any one of those teams that's above them on the day.
I mean, we've FC and I've got there. Yeah, it's going to be tough.
Oh,
I
forgot we've got to go up there. Yeah,
great. Looking forward to having a weekend up there.
They've got barbers next to the ground, haven't they?
What's that? About?
Fantastic.
Nothing. They're just. Merely saying.
Well, it's better to say you're fat. Most people do.
I was going to say it's nice to finally do a show where there's only a couple of teams who can make the playoffs, but it appears that it's down to 10. And our apologies for Kingsley in Town for not mentioning you as well. Brilliant. That's the end of part one. Coming up now is news in briefs, and also
whose briefs?
Mine. And also some awards. Yes. Nominations. We're playing that again. My anniversary is coming up, and you know, normally you buy your loved one a special gift. I make her record some radio stuff.
Well, that's so, love, that's love.
I started to wonder who that woman was.
So, next up to news and reviews, followed by the awards, and we'll be back very shortly with part two of the MPL show. Thanks for those butt scratchers.
Minnesota United president Nick Rogers thanked Matlock Town for an incredible welcome after his side won 3-0 at the MPL club's newly renamed Auto World Arena. Nearly 400 fans turned out to see the Premier Division club's prestige friendly against the North American Soccer League outfit, who are on a pre-season tour. Next up for them is Championship side Derby County next week, before returning home to play David Beckham's former MLS club, LA Galaxy. Division 1 South side Carlton Town have unveiled a programme of events to help boost their finances. Tickets have now gone on sale at £10 for a comedy and magic night on Friday the 25th of April. The event includes food and tickets for Carlton's big Easter draw, which will also be drawn on the night. Meanwhile, Ashton United are preparing to raise the bar for their social media manager after he passed the last record-breaking target they set within a few weeks. The Robins say they are punching above their weight when it comes to online interest thanks to the efforts of Ken Filburn, who has overseen a social media explosion since being set a target of adding a modest 1,000 followers a year. But by last month, astonished officials at Hurst Cross were congratulating Filburn on passing the 3,000 mark, and at the weekend were hailing him again after at Ashton United FC sailed past 4,000 followers, less than a month after he'd been set his new 5,000 target. So congratulations to the Robins. And finally, voting is now underway to choose the EvoStick Northern Premier League 2014 Fans Player of the Year from a shortlist of five finalists. The winner will be unveiled in Barnsley at the third annual EvoStick NPL Player of the Year Awards on Sunday the 6th of April from a final shortlist. And here now are this year's nominees. Gavin Allett, Frickley Athletic.
The Frickley forward wins his second nomination in two seasons, the same amount of time he has spent in the EvoStick League. An injury earlier in the season ruled him out until December, but since then he has helped the South Yorkshire side by scoring an impressive 21 goals this season thus far.
Jonathan Froggatt, Belper Town.
The leading goal scorer in Division 1 South, with a total of 27 goals to date, Froggatt remains on course to match his impressive 30 goals a season streak at EvoStick level. His goals have also helped keep Belper Town in the hunt for promotion this season.
Tom Greaves, FC United and Manchester.
The FC United forward wins a nomination this season as he is growing into a bit of a fan's favourite at the Red Rebels. The 29-year-old saw promotion with Bradford Park Avenue at the expense of FC United a couple of seasons back, but is now very much making amends, scoring 22 goals this season thus far.
Leon Metham, Worksop Town.
The Worksop striker is never far from a mention on the MPL show, the MPL Facebook page or on other social media outlets. And with his 34 goals this season, he has made sure the Tigers are certainly not out of the title race either.
Stephen Thompson, Darlington, 1883.
Darlington's pacey forward has helped keep the North East club in the hunt for Division 1 North success. The striker has been prolific in front of the post this season, both in a playmaking role and as a goal scorer, scoring a total of 18 goals to date.
Voting for this year's shortlist has now officially opened. To register your vote for the EvoStick Supporter Player of the Season, please visit the official league website at www.evostickleague.co.uk. That's www.evostickleague.co.uk. You have until 11 p.m. on the evening of the 16th of March before the voting window closes. The winner will be announced at the league award evening in April, so get voting, and the best of luck to all the nominees.
Welcome back to the Magnets here in Stockport for part two of March's edition of the NPL show.
Yay! Yay! Woo! Hey. Get in there! Award winning, surely, yeah. At some stage.
That's my best whistle.
Round the table, we're joined by James Hayes from the MPL Facebook group.
Hello.
We're joined by the world-famous Pav.
Good evening.
We're joined by Ian Burke from Radio Manchester.
Slightly less famous than Pav.
Hello. We're joined from the evening news by Aaron Flanagan.
Hello.
Not covering the ice hockey tonight, which is good. We're also joined by Aaron Flanagan's relative, John Flanagan, from Curzon Ashton fame.
Good evening.
We're joined from New Mills by Roy Sewell.
Good evening.
And from SC Radio, Swampy.
Good evening.
Now, during that break there, we played a little clip featuring all the players nominated for this year's Evo Stickley Fan Player of the Year Award.
Yes.
James. Oh. So, on the list, are we all aware of who's been nominated?
I'm not.
No?
Okay,
okay, well, let me enlighten you all. Okay, for starters, making the shortlist of five, we've got Gavin Allott of Frickle Athletic. Despite the fact he's been injured for some bits of the season, he still makes the list. I think we all agree he's a cracking player, though.
Oh, top draw player. I think anyone that really, I mean, I know he was contracted this season, he was at Frickley, and I think next season, depending what happens to Frickley, there'll be players coming in, because he is top quality. Holds the ball superb, well, two good feet, and you know, he's what you want in a set of forward, you know, and he scores goals.
I think the only problem about Gavin Allott is always he is a very good player, and you know, his goals tally for Frickley, you know, does tally up. I would say that he's never fit enough for long periods of time, and that's possibly his downfall.
Right.
And that's that. Question is possibly his ambition a little bit, because he's been there a few seasons, and I'm surprised he always gets his fair share of goals, and I'm surprised nobody's come in and further up the league and trying to have a go at him, you know, and that might question his willingness to try and push on. So he might be happy in a small pond to some degree. So, but good player and a good goal scorer.
Also nominated, we've got from FC United Tom Greaves, who scored the winner against Chorley in last week. Well, might as well go to you for this, James. Tom Greaves.
I think he's a fantastic player. Obviously, especially the last couple of games as well, he's been right involved, making sure, obviously, keep missing the playoff race at the moment. I can see why a lot of people are starting to put comments on him on Facebook as well with his efforts. I saw him against Ashley United early in the season in the Dutes, and he did look like part, keeping Matty Chadwick nice and quiet. So it's not a fair nomination, I reckon.
Yeah, he's a good player, but he's not the best that FC United have got to offer, but not by a long shot. Not for me, anyway. I love Liam Brown. I have ever since he was down.
I thought you were going to say the media team.
they're wonderful too, but I've liked Liam Brownhill since he was at Drawlsden, and I was a bit upset he weren't nominated.
We've been saying this for about a while now, Swampy, about Tom Greaves' goals from open play. Also nominated, well, that from Worksop Town is Leon Metton.
And you put the two, you look at the two goal scoring records, and it's phenomenal from Metton. But equally, what the thing about Tom Greaves is, he scored 24 goals from open play, no penalties, and what he brings to the team. And let's not forget, he hasn't played a full season for FC United this year. He's been on the bench quite a while. He's also been injured on a few occasions. I think, I know, I'm not putting the FC hat on here. I'm looking at centre forwards that this year have scored goals, and it's the different type of goals that have been scored. And for me, it makes him the most complete player this season. He's been absolutely. I mean, I take your point about Brownhill. He's been absolutely superb. But Tom Greaves plays football in the right manner. His off the field activity as a person is tremendous, and it's nice to see really nice people, you know, off the pitch as well as on the pitch, scoring goals. And he could be, and I think he's going to be the difference of the FC United winning the league or not winning the league. Him and Norton together have been working tremendously well, and I don't think any defence is likely to play against them too. And for me, there's no doubt other clubs looking at him, and we've got a number of players that have been looked at, once just signed for Fleetwood, and that's Tom Davis, and that's testament to the way that they're playing as individuals. But Tom Greaves for me, no better this year.
John and Roy, in your neck of the woods, we've got a nomination for Darlington's Steve Thompson. I think you mentioned Steve Thompson actually for a nomination, but come to you first, John. Have you come across Steve Thompson in your travels?
Yeah, at Durham. Played for Durham when they won the division. Very good player, I would say. He ain't much of a team player,
he seems to go in one direction, doesn't track people, just waits to get on it. They carry him a little bit in the respect of the defending, and he tends to, he's a right footer playing out on the left hand side, chunky, looks a little bit overweight, but he's deceptively quick, and he drives, just drives inside and gets his shots away. And I think he came out of Port Vale, if I remember right. I think he played a few first team games at Port Vale, so he's got a bit of background in the, in a pro club. He's without a doubt a good footballer.
I would say Steve Thompson, like I say, is my nomination anyway for players performance of the year. He looks a little I'll take this wrong because it's not the right hooker, but he does look like a hooker in rugby league.
Oh, no.
And you're all upset, didn't it? But he does, he's built that way.
Pretty woman.
Yeah, no, he's built that way, and he did actually come through Middlesbrough's academy system, so he has got, you know, top quality sort of coaching behind him. What I would say is that he does things that you don't see for 90 minutes off a lot of other players. He's just there in your face, harassing you, pressing you, looking for opportunities from the first whistle to the last. And apparently he's he has
dispute.
Well, he's been at a pro club of recent weeks, and apparently it's a done deal. So someone seen something decent in him.
I've got to say I'm surprised. Well, I'm not surprised at that. What Royce was saying, but there are a lot of good players in non-league, and I don't understand why pro clubs don't try and take a bit of a chance on them like they did with Vardy. It took him a long time to get all of Vardy. He was a good player when he was at Stocksbridge, and somebody should have picked up on him at that stage very, very quick. Thompson's another one. 2-3 years ago, he would have been worth giving somebody a 12-month or an 18-month contract just to see how he does. Now, it might be him that wants to turn him down, but the lad is without a doubt a talent. He is a talent, and but I think my gut feeling is, disagreeing with Roy's view of his input, I don't see him pressing around the pitch. I see him walking a lot. But
it's a farmer pressing.
I did vote for him. I did vote for him in my team of the year. So I recognise he's a top player.
And Pav, we've not been to you yet, so that leaves you with one player, Jonathan Froggatt from Belper Town.
That's not fair.
I don't see enough NPL football to comment. If it was manager of the year, I would go for either Roy Sewell or John Flanagan.
Oh, what a comment. That's why he's a legend in Tameside.
I'm a right hooker, by the way.
With Frogger, I watched Belper obviously at Scarborough about a month ago. Both of Belper strikers,
You're clinging to that game, aren't you? I'm Division 1 South expert.
Am I the only one who's actually made the effort to actually go to one, though?
I've been to Scarborough.
No, yeah, very good player. I think he scored a couple on that day. It was either him or the other striker. He definitely got one, might have got two. The two strikers shared the goals.
I think the fact that he's not one of the top five teams at the moment is one of the reasons why the panellists have chosen him. He's been scoring 30 goals a season for the last 3 or 4 seasons now on this level. I'm surprised that no one's, again, had a go at him at high division to see what he can actually do.
I'm still upset Phil Dean's not in there. And yet in shame, everyone.
There was a lot of controversy, well, not controversy, but a lot of people on the NPL Facebook group quite rightly saying, where are the Charlie players? Now, obviously, Sam Ashton came close.
Sixth.
Isn't this a problem with the system, rather, that the vote got split amongst about 5 Charlie players? Or is there a Charlie player who stands out over Sam Ashton?
I think Adam Mather. Yeah. Excellent.
There's a user
one that was
up there.
I think even a manager would possibly look at him as well, because he's had an outstanding season, considering made a step up. That's the thing. He's made the step up at level, and he's surpassed himself.
Well, you talk about step ups here, and I want to put a big shout out to a player, Curzon Ashton, who's made a step up from last season. Watched him a couple of times at Main Road, and it's called Ben Warburton.
Matt Warburton. You blew that. You were doing so well. Crack on.
And I think that lad has come into Curzon and he's done a tremendous job. He scored 21 in the league, 27 in total, to come from, you know, a lower division and carry on that prowess. Young lad, I told a few people about him last season, watching him. Curzon took a, I don't think he took a gamble because he saw the quality in him, and he's been, you know, for me, he's, because he doesn't play as an out and out centre forward, he's sort of like off the back two, he's working there. And I know, Berkey, you've got your opinions about him as well, but I think that lad, you know, if Curzon, and we'll talk about them in the third part, but whatever happens to Curzon, that lad's got a future.
One thing I will say about Matty Warburton is he takes a very good penalty. There you go.
I say, I'm just going to put me Alan Alcott on here and just say, we did release a commendations list as well. The ones that weren't nominated, most people have already mentioned the name. So Phil Dean, Matthew Warburton, Kieran Kilheedon's made it, John Johnson at Leek,
Sam Ashton.
It's about 10 players.
Well, let's remember, this is the fans. Yeah. And the fans all over this division are voting for those players. The managers get the chance to vote for the player of the season as well. So again, it's not just, you know, I mean, I think from a fan's perspective, it's excellent that we have this, because, you know, because fans are knowledgeable about it. I mean, I think they've picked some very good quality candidates there. Those that are on the cusp, it's just one of those things. But one of those on the cusp may well be the manager's choice. So again, you know, the great thing about this is everyone has an opinion.
I mean, I just need to add the fact as well that it came down to literally the last couple of votes before we shut it on the last Sunday, where Gavin Allen just made it.
And was it Gavin Allen who voted for himself?
No, it wasn't, actually.
Okay. Did you find out those players? Because there were several players. Are we naming and shaming them yet?
Two have come forward, so I'll still wait for the spare third. The third one's not come forward, but Chase Town, I want you to name your prize, please.
Okay. Voting for yourself.
Let's move.
I'm brilliant!
Good
point, well made.
Let's move things along now to relegation. Our commiserations to Joelston, who have now been officially relegated. Which also means that you no longer get mentioned on this show. So.
Although I do want to just say one very quick thing about them.
Yes,
I thought Dave Pace came on to Five Live with us.
He did,
and I thought his interview was refreshing. Regardless of what you think or you don't think about Dave Pace or Drawson, I think what he said on Five Live with us was very refreshing. And he basically said, the club's not going into liquidation because we owe people money, we're going to pay it off, and we were not going to come back as an AFC team.
He's been saying that for a year,
and he's done. It was superb. It was testament to him in that respect.
Yeah, but he's been saying it for a year, and he's right. I mean, he is paying off his debts, and what was it? Something like £250,000. He's got that down to near enough £100,000 or there or thereabouts now. So he's doing very well at it. But there's nobody going to watch Drawsden anymore. Where's the money coming from? Pay the debts, and I'm there for the club still.
Well, maybe they've got a cracking lad at centre midfield, Mr. Sharry.
Yeah,
he's very good. I was going
to
say,
what a player he is on his day. He is absolutely, what? He would have been, if I'd been watching him all season, he would have been in my top five. Absolute quality, apparently.
After starting the sentence with, we're not going to mention Joelston now.
Well, we should. We have. Right. It's tough. Carry on.
Pav knows more about him than anyone.
Pav.
I've got to be fair, when I spoke to Dave Pace the day after relegation, I expected him to say, yeah, we'll be back, because he has been known to make the odd comment in his time, and he didn't. He said, they've got to sort out the bill first, and then we'll see about coming back. He was very, very low-key, and that's not the Dave Pace I know, not the one who wanted all the Stalybridge blitzed.
Oh, 10-year plan to get in the Premier League. And
I missed that, to be quite honest, because I remember you seeing in papers, what are we going to do next season? Well, we'll see how it goes, we'll do our best. How are you going to do, Dave? We're going to win everything.
The fact that you've signed Stefan Gonzalez as well, I hope if he stays on next season in the First Division North, I can see him bagging a few for him.
Say, he was a speedy player, him.
He was. Currently 22 points from safety Stocksbridge Park Steels.
They're down.
We're going to have an interview with Philip Birkinshaw in the break. He's from Stocksbridge, giving his thoughts on what's gone wrong this season. Stafford Rangers are 4 points better than that.
They're gone too. But they'll be good next season.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, you're right.
I watched them earlier on in season, and they were really struggling when Andy Mutch was in charge. And I looked and I thought, you've got a load of good players here. Some big lads, some real good talented players. They didn't look, prior. I think it was just when Andy Mutch took over when I went. And I thought, it's just really got to be a problem in the changing room or something where it wasn't coming off. And I looked, and I was watching Marine, because we drew Marine in the FA Cup. I was watching that, and they won it on the night, and they looked a good side. And I just could not get my head around where they were in the table and where they stayed. Now, a lot of the players have moved on since. A lot of them have been shipped out, and it might have been a money issue. But
it's not looking good for Stafford or Stocksbridge, really, is it?
I can't see past Stocksbridge.
You mentioned something earlier on, actually. It was interesting. You talked about ambition, and you talked about whether it's a player in a big pond. I mean, the major problem Stocksbridge are down, unfortunately. I don't think there's any question about that. Nathan Joyne suspended for 5 games. It's not going to help him in any way, shape, or form. But talking to players that play for Stocksbridge, one just gone to the United States to coach for the next 9 months. Nobody's got a bad word about Stocksbridge. They love playing there. You know, regardless whether it's a relegation battle every single season, it's the way they're made to feel. They're not on big money in any way, shape, or form. I mean, Saturday we played against them, and you talked about a player, Jamie Vardy. He was back watching them. He turned up. He's at Leicester City now. His car's probably worth more than the squad and their wages for the entire season. But it's just something about Stocksbridge that makes players want to stay there. They've got a great atmosphere and a great feeling. And unfortunately, and I'm going to miss it because, you know, I mean, hopefully we're going to get promoted. But, I mean, even if we stay in the division, if they go down, it's a place that you'd like to go to.
Scott Hogan, probably going to be in the League 2 team of the year. End of the season, he had a spell at Stocksbridge. He couldn't speak highly enough of the place.
A bit higher up. Now this is the bit where there's a violin for Ben. There's a bit of room for debate here.
Violin for Ben.
Witton Albion are still there in the relegation spot with 3 games in hand though over Barwell, 4 points behind. But they're not stringing the results together, are they, Birkin?
They're not, and Witton might not need to string the results together though, with Vauxhall being resigning from the Conference North, it means an extra place in the pyramid. So, as I understand it, the team with the best record from the three Step 3 leagues stays up. I must confess, I don't know who it is at the moment.
Sure, I think it's a Southern League, but I'm not going to say anything.
But either way, I do think that Witton are going to get out of it. I mentioned on the show last month, Alex Titchener, he's back at the club, he's been scoring goals. And that win the other night, how vital was that? The 2-1, was it Stamford they were playing?
Yeah, Stamford, yeah.
The thing with Witton Albion is, I think they can beat any team in the league. It's just that they're not doing it. They're conceding goals. They were beating Charlie 2-0 with 10 minutes to go. They conceded 2 in the last 10 minutes.
If Witton do string a couple of results together, there's a few clubs above them that they start to drag in. Now, last month we did focus a bit on Frickler because of the number of games they played. But Buxton have started to drop in there as well now.
Buxton are your team, unfortunately, Ben.
And I think, you know, they're going to try to run together and win the league.
The title favourites.
Yeah, then he'll wake up.
But Ben,
I think Witton will be the one personally that will get out of it. Barwell will drop in only basically for the fact that I think Barwell are a solid outfit. They don't give a lot away. They're dogged in the way they play the game. But I just think, you know, Witton have that little bit of flair, and on the day they can pull out a really good performance and a result to match. I think it'll only need maybe 3 or 4 wins.
Barwell are a bit Jekyll and Hyde though, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
They only drew against Drolls.
Everyone down there is a bit Jekyll and Hyde.
Especially Barwell. They were seconds away from losing to Drolls. And then they went and beat Ashton United the next week.
I know.
Week.
The one thing that Buxton may have in their favour is that they brought quite a number of players in from Sheffield United.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the beautiful scenery.
And that quality might actually help them out of us. But the problem they've got games in their favour, as Witton have. So for me, I can see Barwell dropping into the bottom end. Frickley just know how to.
They're out of it.
They know how to do it. They know how to get out of it. They have that.
Been there.
They've been there on a few occasions, well, 3 or 4 occasions. So they know how to get out of it. So I think they're okay. For me, it's between Barwell and Witton. I think Buxton now, with the players they brought in, will probably be okay.
I think Witton, maybe next season, Ben.
Yeah. I think though Witton and Barwell are the two teams, because Witton really a great result the other night, but they are They live on a knife edge.
And on that mime, it's now time to draw a line under part two of the MPL show. Coming up, we've got an interview with Philip Birkinshaw from Stocksbridge Park Steels, and making his debut on the journalistic scene, James Hayes is interviewing someone. Are you interviewing?
Yeah, Andrew Simpson, who's one of the commentators from Dallington.
Just to be clear, not that Andrew Simpson.
Oh, yeah, not that one.
Not Simo. Not Simo.
Not this Simo. Another Andrew Simpson.
And what's he doing?
He's one of the main commentators for Darlington's radio station on match days.
And before we go, goodbye to Roy Sewell, because Roy Sewell's leaving us now. Not forever, just today's show.
Another appointment.
Yeah, but you two can sit next to each other again. Very good.
Don't say bookends.
Welcome everyone to the Luck Local Stadium, and we're now joined by a very special guest. Would you like to introduce yourself to the listeners at home?
Philip Birkinshaw, I'm the press officer down here at the Stocksbridge Park Steels.
And you're the guy who does all the camera stuff as well.
That's right, yep. Yeah.
How's the season been, or is that a silly question to ask you?
It's been slightly disappointing, to be honest. It's been hard work, conceded a lot of goals, we've played some decent football, we scored a few goals as well. Certainly four or five, six, maybe seven games we should have won.
Yeah.
Lost in the last few minutes. But it's been tough.
At this stadium, you've hosted teams like Worksop Town and Chorley. Chorley, you got a point. Worksop, you didn't host Worksop, did you, at their place? But you've always come close, haven't you, in those games?
Chorley game, we were 2-0 up at half time, and it was looking quite good, really. But it was a bit like the Alamo in the second half.
What is it? At the start of the season, where did you think you were going to be this year, Stocksbridge? Has there been much investment in the playing staff this year, or is it just as you were?
It was always going to be a struggle. Hopefully we were going to keep in this league. Still mathematically possible, I think, but it's going to be difficult now. It started all right, and like I say, defence is a problem, and we are conceding a lot of goals.
But you haven't had any problem scoring this year?
No, Nathan Jones was top scorer in the league up to after about 15 games maybe, and considering we were in the bottom three, it was amazing, really.
What would happen if you got relegated this year? Would it be disaster, or would it be something you could bounce straight back from, do you reckon?
It's not something that we're happy about. One of the problems that we've got, we wouldn't know whether we're going to the north or the south.
Probably you're kind of in the middle there, aren't you?
Well, yeah, we are,
really. In Evo stick terms.
Yeah, we are. The north looks tougher to me than the south at the moment. But hopefully we will bounce straight back. That's the plan anyway.
Well, good luck today, but not too much good luck today. For the listener at home, we're recording this before Stocksbridge play FC United. But good luck today, or I should say good luck for the rest of the season after today.
That's lovely. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
So I'm joined with Andrew Simpson, who's with Dallington, or does the commentary team for Dallington FC home games away. Obviously, just started up the season. During the podcast this year, Dallington has been one of the main teams that I've been focused on. Do you think it's a true reflection of your season at the moment, where you're standing at the table?
I think we had a tough start.
You're on a great form of run at the moment. How do you see, obviously we've fixtures away from here today at Radcliffe Borough, how do you see the season going? Or?
Personally, I'd be happy to be in the playoffs. I know a lot of fans expect us to go straight up, but I just can't see it.
Okay.
You know, we just can't expect too much of the lads.
Yeah, well. Quick one, thanks. I know obviously you're setting up ready for your commentary today, and good luck with that. And obviously good luck today against ourselves. But obviously we're one of the major dark horses and like to predict over and over again on the podcast. So realistically, who do you think is going to win the division, and who do you think is going to win going through the playoffs?
Realistically, I think Warrington are still in a strong position to win it at the minute, and hopefully we'll go through the playoffs, but if not us, I think
it'll
be far as
big. Matt Norris.
Welcome back to part three here of the
some
MPL
great
show.
There,
pardon?
Some great interviews there. Really yes. Enjoyed that bit.
Yeah, yeah, me too. The Stocksbridge guy. Yes. Top notch.
Stocksbridge
he
guy.
He is as well. Tremendous.
And the Dallington guy. Of course, we're assuming that the interview is fine. I've not actually heard it yet.
That's we know it was. You know it before.
It was only about 30 seconds on before I got kicked out the studio. Oh. But
was it a 30-second interview?
Well, about a minute and a half, really.
Brilliant. Right, okay, so welcome back to part three of the MPL show. Round the table, we've got Pav.
Good evening.
We've got Ian Burke.
Hello.
We've got Aaron Flanagan.
Hello.
We've got John Flanagan.
Hello.
We've got Swamper.
Good evening.
Oh my word. And from the NPL Facebook group, we've got James Hayes, which evening. You can get involved with at
facebook.com/groups/the NPL, and we finally hit 3,000 people today as well. So
you've hit 3,000 people today.
Yeah,
you literally hit 3,000 people today. Have you been eating loads of drinking loads of Tango?
It's social media. It's the future.
Is it?
So
why have you only got 4 followers then?
We had 3,000.
No, you.
I've got more than 4.
No, you haven't.
It's 400.
No, it's not.
All right, so
I follow you, Ben.
Thank you.
So do I.
Thank you.
Lemming.
Mancunian candidate, Richardson. It's not actually, it's Ben_FCMMedia. That's something. That's why I've got 400 followers. James, we asked for a bit of correspondence, and it was all to do with the Player of the Year.
Yes. Like I say, we couldn't ask anything else but this one, so a bit of an exit poll. This one doesn't count towards any final voting, but who's going to win it? Obviously, polling everyone up over the Facebook and the Twitter, which is at the NPL group as well. The top three are, in third place, Stephen Thompson. Second place, Tom Greaves.
Ooh.
And the winner was Leon Metton. But again, that's the exit poll and is not the actual result.
Scored too many penalties for me. And I've conceded far too many goals.
There's got to be something to be said for Tom Denton, though, setting him up. Which he does, he just knocks the ball down to him, he bangs him.
He's 6'7" long, of course he's going to do that.
Anyway, let's draw our eyes to Division 1 South, and we should start really with the news that's
happened. Division 1 South?
Yeah.
We always do.
We always do, yeah.
Sorry.
Let's start with the news that was kind of being hinted at last month at the troubles with Eastwood Town.
Yeah.
Where are we at the moment?
Today it's been announced that the records will be officially expunged.
So what does that do to Division 1 South? Does anyone know?
It means for me that the team I've been saying all season that will win the league. Although they lost 3 points because they played an illegitimate player.
Is that the referee?
Oh, I'll team up. You know what I mean. They lost 3 points based upon that. They've only played Eastwood once, and that 3 points just carries, so they don't lose any further points. And for me, they play 30 games, 60 points. I still fancy Leek Town to win the league. I really do. They've had some indifferent results, but for me, they are the team. Still there.
We're recording this on Wednesday the 12th, we should say, and there was a league statement released a couple of hours back, and it's odd because Eastwood Town have had their playing record for the season expunged, but also League Town has had those points deducted for a match, ironically, against Eastwood Town.
Yes.
From early in the year, which is just odd, but we still think League Town have got that one sorted.
No.
My
choice is up there at the moment. I say, doing my mathematics and not looking at Wikipedia, who've already done the updated table, but the big losers are Scarborough Town, who drop out the playoffs now.
6 points, yeah. Isn't it? They've lost.
Can I just correct you? Scarborough Athletic. Come on, it's a new world.
There is scope here, you know, for legal action, because about 10 years ago, when Spennymoor went mad and stopped playing games, they had their record expunged.
Went mad! Brilliant. Get him on every week.
The chairman just decided not to fulfil fixtures, but Hyde ended up in the High Court with that, because originally they're going to take away the points. I think it was Farsley. Hyde had played Spennymoor twice and won and lost 6 points.
Did you just say though that they took him to the Hyde Court or
the High Court?
They're saying a special court in Hyde.
Well, there probably is, actually, and a lot of people will be found guilty, but it did end up in court action. I think Hyde won it eventually. Well, they actually put it wrong. They ended up taking it and getting barristers and got it through the FA. I don't think it went to the court.
Apparently,
barristers
scored 3 in one game as well.
They were 0-0 wins in the end, weren't they?
Yeah, that's right. But Hyde ended up being reinstated. So I'm not saying it'll happen here, but there is scope for that if a club feels sufficiently aggrieved by what's happened.
And Clash Radcliffe Borough
play. I mean, Scarborough, the only team that really probably will feel really aggrieved that they're on the cusp, weren't they? They're now. If the league table I'm looking at has been updated,
it's not been updated on the league site.
Not on the Evo Stick League, it's not.
Wikipedia has.
Dave Waters, get it sorted.
We're trusting Wikipedia with this. This is great.
I've double checked.
But just to say to Eastwood Town fans, good luck with what happens next.
Yeah.
Because we hope you bounce back as quickly as possible.
And please don't reform as AFC Eastwood.
No, please, not.
AFC's been done now, surely. We can move on.
I hate AFC.
Do you?
Well, it's only so much as people say, because I do the Tannoy Hide, you've got to call them AFC Halifax Town. I say, I wouldn't call them Halifax Town FC. So I say, welcome Halifax Town, but it really gets some of the anoraks annoyed.
What about AFC Wimbledon? Do they not
it's
have
a ridiculous a name. There was with Dean 2000
hello,
in the division when they started off. There was AFC Horning Dean or something like that. The AFC is a silly name for a football. It's a daft prefix. Why? Get rid of it. There's no imagination there. You're supposed to have a bit of imagination. Look at that division. Woofer Dynamo. What a brilliant name for a football club.
The best one was Castleton Gabriels until they turned them into Rochdale Town.
Well, that was ridiculous, of course. I mean, Castleton Gabriels, what a great name. That is.
It was beautiful. But they changed the club colours from blue and white to black and white, just to make it even more dumb. Which is just.
I think the AFC thing is just stab in the dark. I think it's Bournemouth. They used to be called Bournemouth and Boscombe Athletic, which was the longest title in the Football League. Decided to be FC Bournemouth. Is it 30 years ago?
It's probably a long time.
Well, there's also Bournemouth FC.
There is. So what do they do then? What do they do? How do they change the name? Come back with what?
Anything but AFC Eastwood. How about FC Eastwood of Nottinghamshire?
Don't do a Lee Genesis.
No, of course. I'm not on about calling well, them Eastwood it? Badges. Like that.
Instead of having AFC, why don't they just have the word Clint? Wouldn't that work?
Subject closed.
So Halesow in Town.
To make my day.
Halesow in Town are still up front on three points clear of Colville, but Colville do have two games in hand. Belper Town are a bit further back.
Yeah, my fancy.
Belper Town? Colville. Or Colville?
Colville, I think.
Aaron.
No, so I agree that Colville are going to do it. I say they've scored four in both of the last two games. They're scoring more than anyone else, they're conceding less than anyone else. I think it's Colville's to lose. However, the next three games I think are all away and all against mid-table / top half teams, so a big few weeks for Colville, but I still think it's theirs.
So, let's move on to the league where we've got the most knowledge on the table. And that's
well, let's just say well done to Carlton for beating FC United though. 29 points between the two teams in the Deucer Trophy.
That's who we called it.
And congratulations to Rochdale for.
Well, no, let's congratulate Colin Town.
Yes, all right.
Let's not forget, their goalkeeper, their first team goalkeeper, who's a top quality goalkeeper, never played. They brought a young kid in, and he was the man of the match. He was actually outstanding in his debut, and it was a difficult one because he was right behind the FC fans in the first 45 minutes. And he was tremendous, and fair play to him.
Did he play in black like the Aussie rules?
Yellow.
Side?
Yellow.
He's playing yellow.
And the commentary position's right behind the goal.
Basically, today was incoming.
Good. Anyway, congratulations to Carlton Town, and we'll be covering
tonight,
the Doonson very shortly at the end of the match. At the end of the show. So, Division 1 North.
Sour grapes.
Well, where should we start?
Only one team in it.
There's only one team in it, it would appear.
Come on, Darlington. I mean.
I don't want to jinx this as a flank clan, but. You're now 7 points clear with a game in hand. You've put Warrington to bed, it would appear. That there is the clap of Swamper. And,
indeed.
Was it?
It was. So, where are we, Flanklan? What do we reckon?
Well, there's still 10 games to go, isn't there? Or 11 in our case. It's in our hands at the end of the day, and all I can say is that if we can maintain the level of performance that we've had recently in terms of certainly results, we've done really well when we've not always played particularly well. I said we've done well in terms of results when we haven't always performed. So we've got to maintain that really. Goals against recently has been fantastic. That's been a great plus for us.
Second best defence in the league.
Four clean sheets on the bounce.
Yeah, five now. Five out of six now.
It's six out of seven.
Is it?
Yeah, it's 8 out of 7. Keep going.
No, but that's. I was banging the drum about goals conceded about maybe 6-8 weeks ago, and we've worked really hard on sorting the back four out and a bit of shape. We've managed to get a player back in, and a lad who's been playing at centre half going back to right back where he's more comfortable, and it's made a real difference.
How many games have you got at home out of those 10-11 games?
Five at home and six away, if I remember right.
Because you've only lost one at home this season, so again, that's
We've lost one away.
I know that.
But what we have done, we've had a little difficulties is at home. Teams tend to come, they'll either raise the game a little bit because it's a nice stadium, a decent pitch, and they just sit back. They just sit back. They defend really, really deep, and it's much harder to get behind them. When we play away from home, they tend to come out a bit more, and you'll catch them on the break. They'll take a few more chances, and we tend to counter them a little bit better away from home.
One thing is, though, John, you've got a proper nasty run in, haven't you? You've got to play Darlington.
Not really?
Next two games, Darlington and Farsley, the next two games.
I think this month, if we get through this month and we only lose one by the end of the month, I think we're in a very, very strong position.
For me,
because if the rest of the team is just running out of games.
Your next two games will decide it, in my opinion.
Yep. For me, the key is not losing to Darlington next week, because both ourselves and Darlington have got a game in hand on Warrington, which is the game against each other next Wednesday night up at Darlington. I genuinely feel like if we go there and even scrape a draw, get a win, hopefully, we can maybe kill a little bit of Darlington's momentum then.
As James was saying then, though, I do think that if you win the next two games, it's game over. But regardless of that, you can lose them, because you've got 11 games to play, and if you win 8, you've won the league, and there's nothing anyone else can do.
Yeah, and I think it's unrealistic to think that the other two teams are going to win all of their games.
I mean, Darlington are a good side. Warrington, we know.
Yeah, well, we're a good side, but I wouldn't say we'd win every game. It just doesn't happen. Really, it rarely happens. And it's not impossible. Darlington are the most capable of doing it.
I was wondering about Farsley before. They're fourth place. They're just a point behind Darlington. I was thinking, could they sneak it while these three are fighting against each other? They have played a couple of games more than the other three teams above them. But could they do it?
Farsley?
Then I saw their fixture list. And it's worse than Curzon. They're playing everybody and
you know what?
Anybody.
You've done this all too. Tonight, in all fairness, you talk about fixture list, teams you're going to play against. I don't think it matters at this stage of the season.
Of course it matters.
No, I honestly don't think it does. I think there's teams that are winning and doing well will grind out results regardless. If these teams that are there at the moment, Curzon and Ashton, will grind out results the rest of the season and they'll win the league. Darlington will finish second, Warrington will finish third, and then it's a toss up between, for me,
seventh and up.
No, I don't. I saw Bamber Bridge on Monday, and Bamber Bridge basically, no. I've seen Ramsbottom this season. Ramsbottom are a footballing team.
The most entertaining team in the
league. Very, very entertaining. It's between Farsley, Lancaster, and Ramsbottom, but I actually believe that Ramsbottom will jump in there, and I think if you're going to anybody there, I think you're going to say goodbye, and you won't like this, but I think you could say goodbye to Farsley. Because I think Lancaster.
I'm not a Farsley fan.
I think. That game in hand, I've got to think they've got a sneaky feeling. Lancaster at the Giant Axe, what a great name of a stadium!
Big chopper. Yeah.
Whoa! Yeah.
And on that bombshell, have you got anything else to add?
No. Farsley will be out of it. Ramsbottom will be in there in place of Farsley.
Just pretend I'm Caroline Barker just for a second. And on that note, that is the end of the NPL show,
except for one bit.
Then you'll ask what we're all doing this week.
No.
Then she'll thank us and send us a text message saying you're wonderful. We think you're really, really good.
Do you ever listen to the final edit of that show? It never goes out.
I think it finally goes. It was on the edit last week. Brilliant.
We'll be back slightly sooner in April because we're going to be covering a football match. Aren't we, Swamper?
We are indeed, yes. Live at Stockport County on the 13th of April, the Doosan Cup final.
Yes, but we'll
be... Who are the commentators, though, then? Who's commentating? You can give it out now.
Well, I was going to ask Berkey to do it, but Berkey doesn't.
Hates it that much.
Because he trashed the competition.
He hates cup competitions. In its entirety.
Unless it's the FA Cup or the FA Trophy or FA Vars.
You sound like Steve Wehrwell.
So, no, but he hates all of them.
Indeed he does.
Commentary is from Swamper and Roy, and you'll be able to access that via the Evo Stick website. Right.
Oh, yes, indeed.
And it'll be, chances are it's going to be filed against Skem.
No, it is filed at him in the final after him.
Let's move on. Anyway, so that's the end that's the end of the show. My thanks to James Hayes from the NPL Facebook group. One last time from the top.
facebook.com/group/the NPL or on Twitter @the NPL.
Well done, son. Well done. That's brilliant. Excellent.
Thanks to Pav. Thanks to Ian Burke.
Thank you.
Thank you to Aaron Flanagan. Very special thanks to John Flanagan making his debut on the show.
Thank you.
And as well.
Yeah, it was a good debut. Yes. And thank
what
you.
A shirt.
And thank you to Very Casual.
He says a football manager, can't you? You can see it in the crowd, you're like, oh, it's good, that.
And my thanks to Swampy from SCM.
Yeah, very welcome as always.
So, we'll be back.
To you, Ben. Because without you, this show will be so much better.
It's true. I can't lie. So we'll be back in April. Don't forget to look out for the live commentary of the Dudes and Final. But from everyone here at the Magnet, goodbye.